Yeah, it shouldn't be us. I mean,
you've got some good people.
Jan and Kofi.
And I have a great deal of confidence in these young men and women that we have the privilege of training.
Og jeg tror på de unge mennesker, som vi har et privilegie ved at betjene og udruste.
So I hope you enjoy their presence too.
Så jeg håber, I nyder deres ophold.
I'm going to speak to you about a very unusual subject this morning.
Jeg vil gerne tale til jer om et meget usædvanligt emne i dag.
You're going to see it come up on the screen.
I vil se det komme op her.
Now, I have to say, first of all, that my PowerPoint presentations are nothing compared to this man.
Peter er under oplæring.
Nej. And this man as well in the front row.
Og Moise, han gør sit.
I guess in a year's time I'm going to be embarrassed by this PowerPoint presentation.
Jeg vil tro, at om et års tid, så vil jeg selv blive flov over den her presentation.
Because it's so basic.
Fordi den er så basic.
So for those of you who here who are into technology in a big way,
så for de af jer, som er inden for teknologi på en...
Just remember that I turned 49 a few days ago.
Så husk på, at jeg er lige blevet 49.
Ja, det var min fødselsdag.
Det var min fødselsdag.
Okay. So, I'm not good with technology.
Så jeg er ikke så god til teknologi.
So this is a big achievement for me.
Så det her, det er en stor bedrift for mig.
Now, I actually want to take this subject very seriously, and I know that's going to be difficult to do.
Jeg vil gerne tage det her emne alvorligt, og jeg ved, det kan være lidt svært.
I have been going to church, I guess, for over 40 years.
Jeg tror, jeg har gået til kirke i 40 år.
I have heard hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of messages.
Jeg har hørt hundrede og hundrede, måske tusind prædikener.
I've seen the God Channel.
Jeg har set God Channel.
I've traveled to 27 different countries.
Jeg har rejst til 27 nationer.
I've heard many, many, many great teachers.
Jeg har hørt rigtig mange gode undervisere.
I have read hundreds and hundreds of Christian books.
Jeg har læst hundrede og hundrede af kristne bøger.
And I have never heard a message on kissing in the Bible.
Og jeg har aldrig hørt om emnet at kysse i Bibelen.
How many of you have ever heard anyone preach on kissing?
Hvor mange her har hørt, at der er blevet prædiket om at kysse?
Okay, you're in for a treat today then.
Så får I en overraskelse i dag.
This is your divine appointment.
Det er jeres Guds åbenbaring i dag.
Today God wants you to learn about kissing.
I dag ønsker Gud, I skal lære om at kysse.
Now, I know some of you are feeling a little uncomfortable.
Der er nogen af jer, måske føler lidt dårligt tilbage.
You're already anticipating. How is he going to pray at the end of this?
I allerede lidt fordomsfuld over for, hvordan han prædiker ud for det.
And how close am I to that door when he says amen?
Og hvor tæt er jeg på døren i forhold til, når han siger amen?
I'm going to leave you to work out the practical application of this message.
Jeg vil gerne have, at I selv arbejder videre på de praktiske foranstaltninger.
So we won't have a special ministry time of kissing one another.
Så vi har ikke en speciel betjeningstid bagefter med at kysse.
On the other hand,
på den anden side,
if you really feel that,
hvis I virkelig føler for det.
Now before I get into the text,
før jeg går i gang med teksten,
I perhaps should say a few things about myself.
Skal jeg måske lige fortælle lidt om mig selv.
I have an Italian mother.
Jeg har en italiensk mor.
Now that's important for you to understand from a cultural perspective.
Det er vigtigt for jer at forstå i forhold til et kulturelt aspekt.
Because Italian women love to kiss.
Fordi italienske kvinder elsker at kysse.
In fact, I didn't know how unusual kissing was in our household until I visited other friends.
Jeg vidste faktisk ikke, hvor usædvanligt meget vi kyssede hjemme hos os, før jeg besøgte venner.
And I noticed that their mothers didn't kiss them as much as my mother did.
Og jeg lagde mærke til, at deres mødre kyssede dem ikke lige så meget, som min mor kyssede mig.
And when I got to the age of about 14 or 15,
og da jeg nåede alderen 14-15 år,
I had to make a very special arrangement with my mother.
Så måtte jeg lave nogle specielle foranstaltninger med min mor.
You know, when my friends are around,
når mine venner er her,
please don't kiss me.
Så lad være med at kysse mig.
It just is not cool.
Det er bare ikke sejt.
I lose too much credibility when you do that in front of my friends.
Jeg mister for meget mit image, når jeg er sammen med mine venner.
You know, it's like, ah, oh, your mommy kisses you.
Ah, din mor kisser dig.
And they wanted to know that she tucked me up in bed at night as well.
De ville også vide, om hun putter mig i sengen om aftenen.
It was a very traumatic teenage period in my life.
Så det var en meget traumatisk tid i min teenagealder.
But as I got older, I rather liked it.
Men da jeg blev ældre, så begyndte jeg at nyde det.
And I found that when I traveled, there were many cultures where this was an important part of the culture.
Jeg lærte, at for mange nationer, hvor jeg rejste til, at der havde en vigtig del af kulturen.
Now, if you've not experienced this, I invite you to spend a day at our Bible college.
Hvis I har tid og lyst, så inviterer jeg til at bruge en dag på vores bibelskole.
Because we have many European nationalities there.
Vi har mange europæiske nationaliteter.
And many Asian nationalities.
Mange asiatiske.
And they love to kiss.
Og de elsker at kysse.
The French love to kiss, don't they, Moise?
Franskmænd elsker at kysse.
Now she's not saying an amen to that one.
Vi vil gerne høre et amen.
But the men kiss the men.
Men mændene kysser mænd.
And they kiss them on this side.
På den ene side.
And then they kiss them on this side.
Og på den anden side.
And it's very normal.
Det er meget normalt.
Now for an Englishman.
For en englænder.
The way you show affection to someone.
Måden du viser følelse.
Is you hold out your hand.
At man stikker hånden ud.
This is the closest you ever get to another guy.
Det er det tætteste du kommer på en anden mand.
Anything closer than this and something's going on.
Tættere, kommer du tættere på, så er der et eller andet i gang.
But it's about culture.
Men det handler om kultur.
Different expressions for showing affection.
Forskellige udtryk i måder for at vise følelser.
Now, if you come from Switzerland,
if you come from
the Swiss Schweiz, really like
Schweiz,
there, you get at least three.
I Schweiz kan de rigtig godt
one
lide
on
at kysse.
This side,
får man tre kys.
One on this side, and then one on the other side again.
På den ene og den anden og den sidste side igen.
And the Italians love to kiss children. They kiss them all the time.
Og italienerne elsker at kysse børn.
They
de kysser dem hele tiden.
Kiss them all over.
De kysser dem over det hele.
I remember when our first daughter was born.
Jeg kan huske, at min første datter blev født.
She was kissed on every single part of her body, that poor
hun blev kysset over det hele.
And you know the Italians have this kind of phrase. It's you know they're good enough to eat.
Og italienerne har sådan et udtryk, de er gode nok til at spise.
And that's how I felt about my little girls as well.
Og sådan havde det om min datter, da hun blev født.
When they were little.
Da hun var lille.
But let's get on to this whole issue of what the Bible has to say about kissing.
Men lad os gå i gang med hvad Bibelen siger omkring det her kysse.
And I'm going to give you what I believe are seven categories that you'll find in the Bible.
Jeg vil gerne give jer syv kategorier, som jeg tror findes i Bibelen.
Now I'll allow you to search the Bible and see if you think that the categories I've created are fair.
Og jeg vil gerne have, at I også kigger i Bibelen og ser, om de her kategorier er ok.
I'm not claiming divine inspiration on my categories.
Jeg vil ikke sige, at jeg har guddommelig åbenbaring omkring mine kategorier.
But I think they're a helpful way of seeing kissing in the Bible.
Men jeg tror, de hjælper os til at se på det at kysse i Bibelen.
So let's go on to the first one.
Så lad os gå i gang med den første.
This is what I call the greeting kiss.
Det er det, jeg kalder at hilse.
I've given you five references there.
I får fem referencer.
The first four, Romans 16:16.
Første Romerne 16:16.
And 1 Corinthians 16:20.
Og 1 Korinther 16:20.
2 Corinthians 13:12 and 1 Thessalonians 5:26.
2 Korinther 13:12 og 1 Thessalonians 5:26.
All of these are written by Paul at the end of his letters.
Det er noget Paulus skriver sidst i sin breve.
And his exhortation is to greet one another with a holy kiss.
Og hans mål er at hilse hinanden med et helligt kys.
In Peter's reference in 1 Peter 5:14, he changes it slightly. He says, "Greet one another with a kiss of love."
Og i 1. Peter 5:14 bliver det ændret lidt til at hilse hinanden med et kys, nej, hug of love, et kram.
Now, what is so unusual about this?
Det som er usædvanligt ved det,
is that Paul takes a very ordinary cultural greeting.
Det er at Paulus han tager en meget kulturel, normal ting.
And he makes the ordinary extraordinary.
Så gør han det normale unormalt.
It would be very common to say greet one another with a kiss.
Det ville være meget normalt at sige hils hinanden med et kys.
That would be very common in Rome.
Det ville være meget normalt i Rom.
Very common in Asian culture.
Meget normalt over i Østen.
It goes right back into Genesis.
Går helt tilbage til Mosebøgerne.
It is not unusual for greetings to be given that way. When Jacob met his father-in-law, who was going to be his father-in-law, but at that time was his uncle, when he met him, he kissed him and greeted him.
Jacob, da han mødte sin svigerfar, måden han hilste og mødte ham på, det var med et kys.
And you find in the Old Testament people are kissing each other all the time when they greet.
Og I finder i Gamle Testamente at folk når de mødes så kysser de hinanden.
But Paul says greet one another with a holy kiss.
Men Paulus siger hils hinanden.
And the root word for holy is the word to sanctify or to set apart.
Og grundstammen i hellig, det er at sætte til side, at helliggøre.
In other words, there's not to be anything common about the way we greet each other.
Så der skal altså ikke være noget normalt i det at hilse hinanden.
Even the greeting in the Christian community is meant to be special.
Fordi selv det at hilse hinanden i et kristent fællesskab skal være noget specielt.
I love that.
Det elsker jeg.
I love that.
Det elsker jeg.
Paul is saying that when you're part of God's family,
Paulus siger, når du er en del af Guds familie,
the way you interact with one another and the way you greet each other should not just be an ordinary thing that everybody does.
Så måden man er sammen på, måden man hilser på hinanden, skal ikke være ligesom alle andre.
Amongst you, it needs to be special.
Blandt jøder skal det være specielt.
And my second point up there is that it's a way of acknowledging family members.
Og jeg tror, det er en måde at anerkende familiemedlemmer på.
Because in Christ we're part of the same family.
Fordi i Kristus så er vi del af den samme familie.
You realize that?
Forstår I det?
You're greeting brothers and sisters.
I hilser på brødre og søstre.
That's what you do when you give a holy kiss.
Det er det, I gør, når I giver et hellig kys.
The other thing that's interesting about this.
En anden ting, der er interessant,
is that think about the social and cultural context that the church that Paul is writing to is living in.
Så prøv at tænke på den kirke, Paulus skriver til, hvilken kulturel og social miljø de er i.
If I'm an important person,
hvis jeg er en vigtig person,
in society,
i samfundet,
I have many slaves,
jeg har mange slaver,
I have much influence.
Jeg har stor indflydelse.
I have a high social status.
Jeg har en høj status.
And I am out in public.
Og jeg træder ud i offentlighed.
And I meet another person.
Jeg møder en anden person.
Who goes to the same church that I go to.
Som går til den samme kirke som mig.
Who is a Christian.
Som er kristen.
Who is a brother in Christ.
Som er en bror i Herren.
But they are a slave.
Men som er slave.
Of someone else who I mix with in high society.
Som er slave af en, som jeg omgås med i det sociale lag, jeg er i.
And I suddenly meet them in a public place.
Og jeg møder ham på et offentligt sted.
What am I going to do?
Hvad skal jeg gøre?
How am I going to treat them?
Hvordan skal jeg behandle dem?
And I, am I going to treat them as a slave, because that's the social standing that we both have?
Skal jeg behandle ham som slave i forhold til det forhold, vi har?
Or am I going to obey Paul's exhortation?
Eller skal jeg følge Paulus' anbefalinger.
To greet them in a way that shows we have an equal standing in Christ.
Ved at hilse dem på en måde, som viser, at vi har den samme status i Kristus.
I spent years asking the Lord, why 5 times in the New Testament is this commanded?
Jeg spurgte Gud, hvorfor skriver Paulus det her 5 gange i testamentet?
I couldn't get it for years.
Jeg kunne ikke forstå det i flere år.
This is so unimportant.
Det er jo så uvigtigt.
Greet one another with a holy kiss.
Hils hinanden med et hellig kys.
And then I began to see it.
Så begyndte jeg at se det.
I began to understand.
Begyndte at forstå.
That Paul is challenging the church to cross barriers.
At Paulus udfordrer kirken til at bryde grænser.
Through this very simple act.
Ved den her meget simple måde at gøre.
And you see, when I meet a slave.
Hvis jeg møder en slave,
and I'm an important businessman or a rich man with my own slaves,
og jeg er en vigtig forretningsmand eller jeg har mange slaver,
and I embrace the slave,
og jeg omfavner slaven,
and I kiss the slave,
og jeg kysser slaven,
what does it say to everybody around?
Hvad siger det til alle andre?
Wow, that's different.
Det er anderledes.
You don't normally see that going on.
Det ser man ikke lige hver dag.
This guy's a slave. Look at his clothes.
For se, han er en slave.
This man is an important man. Look at his clothes.
Se på ham, han er en vigtig fyr. Se på hans tøj.
What do they have in common?
Hvad kan de have til fælles?
And the rich man and the slave can turn around to the community and say, let us tell you about what we have in common.
Og den rige og den slaven kan vende sig om til folk og sige, det her har vi til fælles.
What a wonderful way to speak about Jesus.
Hvilken fantastisk måde at tale om Jesus.
And I believe that this is what lies behind the challenge that Paul is giving the church.
Og jeg tror, det er det, der ligger bag den her udfordring, som Paulus giver
til kirken.
Challenging
barriers of class, race, age, education.
Det udfordrer de forhold, de grænser, vi har ud fra alder, uddannelse og status.
It's challenging the social status that we all have.
Det udfordrer den sociale status, som vi har.
What would have happened in America in the 1960s?
Hvad tror I, der ville ske i 1960?
If the US president,
hvis den amerikanske præsident,
had embraced and kissed Martin Luther King,
havde omfavnet og kysset Martin Luther King,
what kind of message would that send?
Hvad ville det have været for en meddelelse?
Do you see where I'm coming from here?
Kan I se, hvad jeg mener?
That when we greet one another,
at når vi hilser hinanden,
it's meant to be special.
Så skal det være noget specielt.
It's meant to have value.
Det er ment til at have værdi.
So Paul says, let it be a holy kiss.
Så Paulus siger, lad det være et hellig kys.
You know, sometimes I'm amazed at the way we treat one another as Christians.
Nogle gange kan jeg blive overrasket over den måde, vi behandler hinanden på som kristne.
I have purposed in my heart that when I see somebody that I know or I recognize, I will say hello or hi there or it's good to see you.
Jeg har besluttet, at når jeg ser nogen, jeg kan genkende, så vil jeg gå hen og sige, hej, hvordan har du det? Godt at se dig.
It's got to the point now where I feel guilty if I don't.
Det kommer der til i mit liv, at hvis ikke jeg gør det, så føler jeg mig skyldig.
Because when we do that, we're acknowledging another individual.
Fordi når vi gør det, så anerkender vi et andet menneske.
And in acknowledging them, we give value to them.
Og når vi anerkender mennesker, så giver vi værdi
and
til
it's
dem.
Very important that
det er
we
meget
do
vigtigt,
one another.
At vi gør det her.
My challenge is, oh God, what's their name?
Min udfordring det er at huske navnet også.
That's my big challenge.
Det er min store udfordring.
Have you ever done that? You think, well, they didn't see me. Maybe if we move on, we don't have to say hello.
Kender I det, at så man håber, at de ikke har set en, så kan jeg bare lige smule videre.
But the Bible doesn't emphasize knowing one another's names.
Men Bibelen lægger ikke vægt på, at vi kan hinandens navne.
It emphasizes interact with one another and greet one another.
Men det handler om, at vi har et forhold, en relation sammen, og vi hilser hinanden.
And give a holy kiss.
Og giver et hellig kys.
But I love all the cultures in the Bible college that like to kiss.
Jeg kan godt lide alle kulturerne på bibelskolen, som kan lide at kysse.
There is a kindness and a beauty and a time that is taken in that process.
Der er en venlighed og en tid, som finder sted i den her proces.
Rather than just hi there.
I stedet for at man bare lige siger hej hej.
How's it going?
Hvordan kører det?
If you look at Luke chapter 7.
I ser på Lukas kapitel 7.
Jesus is invited into the home of Simon the Pharisee.
Så bliver Jesus inviteret ind i farisæeren Simons hus.
And you know it's the story where the woman who is the sinner comes in and starts to anoint Jesus' feet and to wipe it with her hair and to kiss his feet.
Og I kender historien med kvinden der kommer ind og salver Jesus med olie og tørrer hans fødder med tårer.
And this Pharisee makes a judgment in his heart about Jesus.
Og farisæeren han gør en dom over Jesus i sit hjerte.
If this man knew who this woman was, he wouldn't allow her to do this.
Hvis Jesus vidste, hvem den kvinde var, så ville han ikke tillade, at hun gjorde det, hun gør.
And Jesus begins to tell the story about the two debtors.
Og Jesus begynder at fortælle historien om de to skyldnere.
And at the end of that story, he has a criticism of this man.
Og i afslutningen af historien, så bringer han en kritik over manden.
He says, when I came into your home,
han siger, da jeg kom ind i dit hjem,
you did not greet me with a kiss.
Så hilste du mig ikke engang med et kys.
You didn't anoint my head with oil.
Du velsignede ikke mit hoved med
olie.
You
washed my feet.
Du vaskede ikke mine fødder.
These were the common greetings of the day in Jesus' time.
Det var på Jesu tid de almindelige måder at hilse på.
Here's a Pharisee who wants to engage with Jesus.
Her er en farisæer som gerne vil have en relation til Jesus.
But doesn't really want to receive him.
Men ikke rigtig vil modtage ham.
He wants an intellectual conversation.
Han vil gerne have en intellektuel samtale.
But doesn't really want to get close.
Men han vil ikke rigtig tæt på.
And you see, when we kiss,
I ser, når vi kysser,
we get close.
Så kommer vi meget tæt på.
Now I know that in our different cultures, there's different ways of expressing this.
Og jeg ved godt, at i forskellige kulturer, der er forskel på, hvordan man udtrykker sig.
But the point that I'm making is this.
Men det jeg gerne vil sige.
This man did not give to Jesus the common courtesies of hospitality that were expected at that time.
Men farisæeren gav ikke Jesus engang den normale måde at hilse på den tid.
And Jesus noticed it.
Og Jesus lagde mærke til det.
I think in Denmark you need to revive this thing called hygge.
Jeg tror at i Danmark så skal man lige vende den her ting vi kalder hygge.
You have a beautiful history with hygge.
Vi har en god historie tilbage med hygge.
But I've noticed it's very it's taken for granted in a way.
Vi har lagt mærke til, det bliver taget sådan lidt for givet.
And it's one of the most special things about this particular culture that I've encountered.
Og det er noget af det specielle ved den her kultur, har jeg lagt mærke til.
When you take the time with food and candles and putting it nice.
Når man tager tiden med mad og stearinlys.
It's very special.
Det er meget specielt.
And I want to commend you in it.
Og jeg vil gerne udfordre jer til.
And I want to challenge you.
Ja, befale jer.
Have a holy hygge.
Og have en hellig hygge.
Make it that little bit more special.
Gør det den smule mere specielt.
You understand where I'm coming from?
Forstår I, hvad jeg mener?
This is the kiss that's the greeting kiss.
Det er det kys, som er hilsen.
Let's go on to the next one.
Lad os gå videre til den næste.
This is what I call the farewell kiss.
Det er det, jeg kalder farvelkysset.
The obvious example there is in Acts chapter 20.
Og det tydeligste eksempel, det er i Apostlenes Gerninger.
Where Paul calls the Ephesian elders to meet with him in a place called Miletus.
Der Paulus kalder ældste fra Efesus til at mødes med ham i noget her.
It's his last message to them.
Det er hans sidste budskab til dem.
And he gives a strong warning to them.
Han giver en stærk advarsel til dem.
And then at the end of this meeting he says, look, I'm going to Jerusalem and you're not going to see my face any longer.
Og han siger til dem, jeg tager til Jerusalem, og I skal aldrig se mit ansigt mere.
This is our last meeting together.
Det her er vores sidste møde sammen.
And when you read verse 37,
og når man læser kapitel 37,
you'll see that Paul goes down on his knees.
Så kan man se, at Paulus går ned på sine knæ.
And they all embrace him.
Og de omfavner ham alle sammen.
And they all cry.
Og de græder alle.
And they all kiss.
Og de kysser alle.
It's very beautiful.
Meget smukt.
In Genesis chapter 50,
i første Mosebog kapitel 50,
Jacob is on his deathbed.
Der er Jakob på sit dødsleje.
And when he dies,
og da han dør,
Joseph embraces him.
Så omfavner Josef ham.
And kisses him goodbye.
Og kysser ham farvel.
In 1 Samuel chapter 20,
i første Samuel kapitel 20,
it's not on the screen, but we have the story of David and Jonathan.
Ikke op på skærmen, men det med Jonas. David og Jonathan.
And on a number of occasions, Saul has tried to kill Jonathan.
I flere omgange har Saul prøvet at slå David ihjel.
And at this point in the story,
og på det her tidspunkt i historien,
these two young men realize that David is going to now have to leave.
Der forstår de, at David nu må flygte.
That Saul is determined to try and kill David.
At Saul har besluttet sig på at slå David ihjel.
And Saul and Jonathan come together.
Og David og Jonathan samles.
David falls on his face, prostrate before Jonathan, and bows three times.
Og David falder på knæ og bukker sig ned tre gange foran Jonathan.
They cry.
De græder.
And they kiss.
Og de kysser.
The farewell kiss.
Farvelkysset.
The farewell kiss is expressing the value that we place upon a relationship.
Farvelkysset udtrykker den kærlighed, vi udviser for hinanden.
Have you ever been in a situation where you're with someone you know you will never see again?
Har du nogensinde været sammen med nogen, og som du vidste, du aldrig skulle se igen?
Or you're just not sure you'll ever see them again?
Eller du er bare ikke sikker på, at du nogensinde ser dem igen?
When David said goodbye to Jonathan, there was one more occasion where they met. Only one more.
Da David sagde farvel til Jonathan, så var det kun én gang mere, hvor de mødtes.
Jonathan was able to get away and to go out into the desert, and he encouraged David.
Det var muligt for Jonathan at gå ud i ørkenen og møde David.
But after that one meeting, they never met again.
Men efter det her sidste møde, så mødtes de aldrig mere.
The Ephesian elders never saw Paul again.
Ældste fra Efesus, de så aldrig Paulus mere.
It was a time of expressing deep grief.
Det var en tid, der udtrykte stor sorg.
Because of how much the relationship meant to them.
Som udtrykte, hvor meget det her, den her relation betød.
Paul had served with these Ephesian elders.
Paulus havde betjent og tjent sammen med
Efesus. He'd been at Ephesus for at least 18 months.
Han havde været i Efesus i hvert fald 18 måneder.
He knew these men.
Han kendte de her
he
mennesker.
Interacted with them.
Han har arbejdet sammen med dem.
And so they expressed the value that they held for one another.
Så de udtrykte den værdi, de havde for hinanden.
This is how you give love, this is how you give respect.
Det er måden, du giver kærlighed og respekt.
And can I say that in this particular part of Europe,
og kan jeg sige, i specielt den her del af Europa,
the UK, Denmark,
England, Danmark,
we're not very good at showing how we feel.
Så vi er ikke ret gode til at udtrykke, hvordan vi føler.
You know, the English are known for their stiff upper lip. That's a phrase that we have.
Englænderne er kendt for en eller anden stivlæbethed.
In other words, you don't show how you feel.
Man viser ikke, hvordan man har det.
And I have met many men who are bound up.
Og jeg har mødt mange mennesker, som har noget i sig.
They feel things very deeply, but they don't allow themselves to express it because they're afraid that's not manly.
De har meget dybe følelser, men de udtrykker det ikke, fordi de tror ikke, at det er mandligt.
It's the big boys don't cry kind of an attitude.
Det er store drenge græder ikke attituden.
And can I tell you that that is not at all biblical?
Kan jeg fortælle, at det overhovedet ikke er bibelsk?
And that is not godly.
Og det er slet ikke ifølge Gud.
It's absolutely okay for big boys to cry.
Ja, helt i orden, at store drenge græder.
Joseph was a prime minister and he cried.
Josef, han var statsminister, og han græd.
Paul was an apostle, and he cried.
Paulus var en apostel, og han græd.
The Ephesian elders were leaders in a large church, and they cried.
Ældste i Efesus var voksne mennesker, og de græd.
David was a great warrior who had no fear against Goliath, but he cried.
David var en stor kriger, der ikke havde frygt for Goliat, men han græd.
And I want to say to some of you men here today,
jeg vil gerne sige til jer mænd i dag,
one of the best things you could ever do is have a good cry.
Noget af det bedste I kan gøre, det er bare ved at græde igen.
You understand where I'm coming from now?
Forstår I, hvad jeg mener?
Allow yourself to feel the pain and the value of relationships that you no longer have.
Tillad jer selv at få den følelse af de venskaber eller forhold, jeg har, som ikke længere bliver.
If you lock it up and push it down,
hvis I låser det inde og trykker det ned,
you will carry a grief with you for the rest of your life.
Så vi bærer en sorg med jer for resten af livet,
that God does not want you to carry.
Som Gud ikke ønsker I skal bære.
When Moses died,
da Moses døde,
the Lord allowed the people to grieve for over a month.
Så tillod Gud at folket sørgede i over en måned.
He had a profound impact as a father to the nation.
Han havde en utrolig indflydelse som far for nationen.
But when he wept, when he died, they wept.
Og da han døde, der græd de.
And then after 40 days, the Lord said, okay, that's enough, now we move on.
Og efter 40 dage, så sagde Gud, okay, så er det godt nu, skal vi videre.
But you know what, if you don't cry, and if you don't grieve, and if you don't express the value that that relationship had to you,
hvis ikke I græder og udtrykker den sorg ud over den værdi, som den her relation har haft for jer,
you never really move on.
Så kommer du aldrig rigtig videre.
At the emotional level,
på det følelsesmæssige plan,
you carry a pain in your heart.
Så bærer du en smerte i dit hjerte.
When my mother was dying,
ja, min mor var døende,
we went to the hospital and the doctor said she's probably got a few weeks to live.
Så tog vi til hospitalet, og lægen sagde, hun har et par uger tilbage.
As soon as I heard that news, I started to cry.
Lige så snart jeg hører de nyheder, så begyndte jeg at græde.
And I knew that the grieving process had begun already.
Og jeg vidste, at min sorgproces var allerede begyndt.
And sure enough, 2 weeks later, she did die.
Og 2 uger efter, så døde hun.
But we had times where we spoke to each other.
Men vi havde en periode, hvor vi talte sammen.
And we said all the important things that we needed to say to each other.
Vi sagde alle de vigtige ting, som vi havde brug for at sige til hinanden.
And if there's one thing I can tell you, I made sure that I did.
Og hvis der er en ting, jeg kan love jer, som jeg var sikker på, at jeg fik gjort,
was I kissed her.
Var at jeg kyssede hende.
And I said goodbye to her.
Og jeg sagde farvel til hende.
It was very important.
Det var meget vigtigt.
It's very important.
Meget vigtigt.
Let's move on.
Lad os gå videre.
This is what I want to call the deceptive kiss.
Det er det, jeg vil kalde det forførende kys.
This is very powerful in the Bible.
Det er meget stærk i Bibelen.
If we turn to the book of Proverbs in chapter 27,
hvis vi går til Ordsprogenes bog, kapitel 27,
here's what it says.
Så står der følgende.
In verse 5,
i vers 5,
open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed.
Amen.
He's just looking it up.
Kapitel 27, vers 5 og 6. Kærlighed, der irettesætter, er bedre end kærlighed, der er passiv. Kritik for en ven er bedre end en fjendes skulderklap.
Is it the same?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll stay with the English because it's closer to the Hebrew. In verse 6, it goes on to say this.
I vers 6 så fortsætter med at sige,
faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.
Trofast er de sår, man får fra en ven, men de kys, man får af en fjende, er forførende.
Now these two verses are talking about the need to be authentic and honest.
De her vers, de taler om, at man skal være ærlig og autentisk.
In other words, if you're in love,
dermed med andre ord, hvis du er i
forelsket, it's no good unless at some point you declare it.
Så er det ikke noget værd, hvis ikke du på et tidspunkt udtrykker det.
An open rebuke is better than a secret love.
Og en åben modgang eller nogen der går imod dig er bedre end en hemmelig kærlighed.
In other words, to be told stop it, don't do that.
Så for eksempel at blive fortalt stop det der.
That's better than oh, I really love that person but I can't tell.
Er bedre end at man går og siger, åh, jeg elsker virkelig ham der, men det jeg siger det ikke.
There needs to be an authenticness or an authenticity and an honesty in our communication.
Det må være en ærlig autentiskhed i vores liv.
And a friend will sometimes wound you because of his commitment to your well-being.
Og en ven vil nogle gange såre os på grund af hans ansvarlighed over for at du har det godt.
But an enemy,
men en fjende,
will try and get close to you with a kiss.
Vil prøve at komme tæt på dig med et kys.
When in his heart he has another agenda.
Når han i sit hjerte har et andet motiv.
And we see that in Luke 22 with Jesus, when Judas came to betray him, he betrayed him with a kiss.
Vi ser det i Lukas 22, at Judas kom for at forråde Jesus, og gjorde han det med et kys.
We see it in 2 Samuel chapter 20 with Joab.
Vi ser det i 2 Samuel kapitel 20 med Joab.
A leader in the army of David.
En leder i Davids hær.
In Saul's army rather.
I Sauls her nærmere.
And he ends up killing a man called Amasa.
Han ender med at slå en mand ihjel, der hedder Amasa.
A good man.
En god mand.
He grabs him by the beard.
Han trækker ham i skægget.
As though he's going to kiss him.
Som om han vil kysse ham.
And then with the other hand he kills him.
Og med den anden hånd så slår han ham ihjel.
It's deceitful.
Det er bedragerisk.
There is another agenda.
Der er en anden motiv.
He pretends friendship.
Han forestiller at det skal være venskab.
In his heart is hatred.
Og i sit hjerte er det had.
We need to avoid this kind of hypocrisy.
Vi må undgå det her hykleri.
Have you ever met someone and you say, oh hello, nice to meet you, and you're thinking, oh God, how quickly can I get away?
Har nogensinde mødt nogen, hvor du siger, hey, dejligt at se dig, og i dit hjerte tænker bare, oh, hvornår kan jeg komme herfra?
I know that you're good Christians, and that would never happen in this community.
Jeg ved, I er gode kristne, det vil aldrig ske.
But maybe one day you'll meet somebody who's like that.
Men måske møder en dag nogen, der er på den måde.
You see, we need to avoid communication that lacks sincerity and honesty.
Vi må undgå kommunikation, som mangler en dybde og medfølelse.
Because if we live that way, we end up being able to put on faces.
Fordi, once again.
If we live that way, we end up being able to put on a mask.
Okay. Fordi hvis vi lever på den måde, så får vi en maske på.
And when you put on a mask to other people, you end up fooling yourself.
Og når du ender med at have en maske på, så snyder du andre mennesker.
You end up very confused.
Så ender du med at være meget forvirret.
Who's the real me?
Hvem er det virkelig jeg?
That's what hypocrisy does.
Og det er det hykleri gør.
It actually undermines your whole sense of true identity.
Det underminerer din forståelse af hvem du er.
So this is one of the kisses you need to avoid.
Så det er et af de kys, I skal undgå.
The deceitful kiss.
Det bedrageriske kys.
The kiss that has another agenda.
Kysset, som har et andet motiv.
In Proverbs chapter 7, you've got the naive young man.
I Ordsprogene 7, der har I den naive unge mand.
Who is caught by the seductive woman.
Som bliver fanget af den forførende kvinde.
And she kisses him.
Og hun kysser ham.
And the whole idea of the kiss is a seductive kiss. It's deceitful.
Og hele tanken med kysset, det er forførende, et bedrager.
It's to seduce him.
Det er at forføre ham.
To bring him to a place that he didn't originally think of going.
At bringe ham til et sted, hvor han egentlig ikke havde tænkt sig at gå.
And that kind of kiss needs to be avoided.
Og den slags kys må undgås.
We're not here to deceive people.
Vi er ikke her for at bedrage folk.
We're not here to seduce people.
Vi er ikke her for at forføre mennesker.
We're not here to manipulate people.
Vi er her ikke for at manipulere mennesker.
But we're here to be honest.
Men vi er her for at være ærlige.
Truthful.
Og sandfærdige.
And looking out for the well-being of others.
Og se at andre har det godt.
Let's move on to the next one.
Skal vi videre til næste?
I call this the forgiving kiss.
Jeg kalder det et tilgivende kys.
I love this kiss.
Jeg elsker det her kys.
And I love the examples it has in the Bible.
Og jeg elsker de eksempler der er på det i Bibelen.
With the forgiving kiss, we're trying to communicate acceptance.
Med det tilgivende kys der prøver vi at kommunikere.
Restoration.
Genoprettelse.
And new beginnings.
Og en ny begyndelse.
One of the best examples is in Luke chapter 15 when the prodigal son returns to the father's house.
Det er i Lukas 15 hvor den fortabte søn
vender tilbage. He sees him a great way off.
Faderen ser ham på lang afstand.
He runs to him.
Han løber til ham.
He embraces him.
Han omfavner ham.
And he kisses him.
Han kysser ham.
Now we could argue, well that's the greeting kiss, isn't it?
Vi kunne godt sige, at sådan hilser man jo på hinanden.
But more is being communicated in that kiss than a simple greeting.
Men
more is being communicated in that kiss than a simple greeting.
Men der bliver kommunikeret mere i det kys end bare en simpel hilsen.
He is communicating love, acceptance and forgiveness.
Han kommunikerer kærlighed, accept og tilgivelse.
And he does it with a kiss.
Han gør det med et kys.
You know when our little girls when they were playing around in the garden?
Ja, vores børn, vores piger, de legede i vores have.
When they fell over,
når de faldt,
they would come running into the house.
Så kom de løbende ind i huset.
You know what they wanted?
Ved I, hvad de ville have?
I hurt myself.
Jeg slog mig selv.
Make it better.
Gør det, det forsvinder.
And they would often say, kiss it better.
Kys det bedre.
So we would just give them a little kiss.
Så gav dem et lille kys.
You see, the kiss doesn't heal the wound.
Kysset læger ikke såret.
But the kiss heals the heart.
Men kysset lærer hjertet.
And that's what children need, by the way.
Og det er jo et det børn har brug for.
Sometimes as parents we're so obsessed about healing the wound in the leg or the wound in the arm.
Nogle gange som forældre så er vi så optaget af at få lægt det sår der er i armen eller
hovedet. But when children hurt themselves, they go through a mini emotional trauma.
Men når børn de kommer til skade, så går de igennem sådan en mini traumatisk periode.
And what they need is a healing of the trauma.
Og det de har brug for, det er lægedom til det her trauma.
And when you kiss them,
og når man kysser dem,
you give them permission to express their pain.
Så giver du dem lov til at udtrykke deres smerte.
And often when I kissed our girls, I said, well, what happened?
Og nu, mange gange når jeg har kysset dem, så
and
spørger dem, hvad der skete.
Story.
Og de fortæller historien.
I was in the garden.
Jeg var i haven.
And I was climbing the frame.
Jeg kravlede op i træet.
And then I fell down.
Og så faldt jeg ned.
And as they tell it, they relive it.
Og mens de fortæller, så genlever de det.
Again.
Og tårerne begynder at komme ud.
But this time, it's healing.
Men den her gang, så er det lægende.
Because now they're releasing all of the emotional trauma of the moment.
Fordi den her gang, så udtrykker de alle de traumatiske følelser.
And you are there to embrace.
Og du er der for at omfavne.
And to kiss.
Og kysse.
And I have seen kids, after doing this, where they've gone down and say, well, it's not so bad.
Og jeg har set at børnene så efter de har fortalt det, så kigger vi på så
og siger, det er ikke så slemt. Ja, ja, I'm feeling better.
Og spørger dem, nå, har du det bedre nu? Ja, det har
jeg. I think you need another kiss, don't you? Oh, daddy, stop it.
Og hvis jeg spørger, om de vil have et kys mere, så siger de, ah, far, lad nu være.
And they get to a good place.
Og de kommer til et godt sted.
The forgiving kiss,
det tilgivende kys,
is helping people to come to a new place inside.
Det hjælper mennesker til at komme til et nyt sted i deres hjerne.
It's like a spiritual journey.
Det er som en åndelig rejse.
In Genesis chapter 33,
i 1. Mosebog kapitel 33,
Jacob is about to meet his older brother Esau.
Der skal Jakob til at møde sin ældre bror Esau.
The last time they were together was not good.
Sidst de var sammen, der gik det ikke så godt.
Jacob had cheated his brother out of his birthright.
Jakob havde snydt Esau
out of the blessing.
Han havde snydt sig til velsignelsen for første gang.
And Esau had said, I am going to kill you.
Og Esau havde sagt, jeg slår dig ihjel.
And that's why Jacob had to run away.
Og det var derfor Jakob var flygtet.
And now he returns many years later.
Og nu kommer han tilbage mange år senere.
With his wives.
Med hans koner.
four of them.
Fire af dem.
And all of his children.
Og alle hans børn.
And all of his money.
Og alle hans penge.
And he's worried about this meeting.
Og han er lidt bekymret for det her møde.
And so you know what he does?
Ved I, hvad han gør?
He does what any brave man would do.
Han vil gøre, hvad enhver modig mand
vil gøre.
He sends
the women and children ahead of him.
Han sender børnene og konerne i forvejen.
That's Jacob for you.
Det er Jacob.
And that night God deals with Jacob.
Og den nat, der tager Gud fat i Jacob.
God wrestles with him and touches his hip.
Gud kæmper med Jacob og rører
på hans hofte. He has to walk leaning on a staff.
Derefter så må han gå ved at støtte sig til en stav.
Now he can't run away.
Nu kan han ikke løbe.
Now he has to trust God.
Nu bliver han nødt til at stole på Gud.
And when he meets Esau,
og når han møder Esau,
he bows before him.
Så bukker han sig ned foran ham.
And Esau puts his arm around him.
Og Esau omfavner ham.
And kisses him.
Og kysser ham.
And embraces him.
Og omfavner ham.
And it's clear he forgives him.
Og det er tydeligt, at han tilgiver ham.
There is no talk of death or vengeance or getting his own back.
Der er ikke tale om hævn eller at skulle få tingene igen.
In Genesis 45,
i 1. Mosebog kapitel 45,
Joseph is now on the throne of Egypt as number 2.
Så er Josef på toppen i Egypten som nummer 2.
He has all the power at his disposal.
Han har al magt til rådighed.
And before him one day a group of men appear.
Og en dag så er der en gruppe af mænd der træder frem foran ham.
And he recognizes them.
Og han genkender dem.
They're the men who sold him into slavery, his brothers.
Det er de mænd som solgte ham til slaveri, hans brødre.
What would you do if you had that kind of power and you were in that kind of position?
Hvad ville du gøre hvis du havde al magt og du var i den situation?
You see, Joseph has been through a very deep process.
Josef havde været igennem en meget dyb proces.
God has had him first in a pit.
Gud har haft ham først i et hul.
And then in Egypt.
Så i Egypten.
And then in a dungeon.
Og så i et fængsel.
And God has been working on this young man.
Og Gud har arbejdet med den unge mand.
It says in the Psalms that iron entered his soul.
Siger salmerne, at jeg er trængt ind i hans sjæl.
It's a very unusual expression.
Meget usædvanligt udtryk.
See, God wanted to break this young man.
Gud ønskede at bryde, knække den her mand.
So that he would trust in God.
Så han ville stole på Gud.
And be compassionate.
Og være, vild med Gud.
And when these brothers appear to him.
Og det er de her brødre trådte op foran ham.
It gets to the point where Joseph can take it no longer.
Så kommer det til et punkt, hvor Josef ikke kan tage det mere.
He clears the court of all his servants.
Han rydder rummet for alle hans tjenere.
And now no longer speaking Egyptian, he declares to them, I am Joseph.
Og han taler ikke længere egyptisk, men han siger til dem, jeg er jeres bror Josef.
And they are shocked.
Og de er chokeret.
And he says to them,
han siger til dem,
don't worry my brothers.
Vær ikke bange.
What you meant for evil, God meant for good.
Hvad I har tænkt som ondt, det har Gud vendt til godt.
And he has the most wonderfully redemptive view of his own history.
Han har et utroligt tilgivende, forløsende syn på sit eget liv.
God sent me ahead of you to preserve life.
Gud sendte mig i forvejen for jer for at bevare livet.
Hang on a minute, Joseph.
Hey, hang lige på, Joseph.
Do you need a little recap here on what happened?
Skal vi lige spole tilbage?
But that's how he sees it.
Men det er sådan, han ser det.
God sent me ahead of you to preserve life.
Gud sendte mig i forvejen for jer for at bevare livet.
And Joseph takes every brother.
Og Josef tager alle brødrene.
Embraces them.
Og omfavner dem.
Kisses them.
Kysser dem.
And forgives them.
Og tilgiver dem.
Here's my challenge to you today.
Her er min udfordring til jer i dag.
Who do you know that needs to receive a forgiving kiss from you?
Hvem kender I, som har brug for at modtage et tilgivende kys fra jer?
Who needs some expression?
Hvem har brug for et udtryk?
That things are okay between you now.
Udtryk for, at tingene er okay imellem jer.
Very hard. Unless you're deceitful, it's very hard to kiss someone you haven't forgiven.
Medmindre du kan bedrage, så er det meget svært at kysse nogen, som du ikke har tilgivet.
Maybe you need to go through a process to come to that place like Joseph did.
Måske skal du igennem en proces for at komme til det punkt, ligesom Josef gjorde.
He went through a very deep process.
Han kom igennem en meget dyb proces.
But he came to that place.
Han kom til det sted.
And he gave that kiss of forgiveness.
Og han gav tilgivelseskysset.
It's the most beautiful kiss you can give.
Det er det smukkeste kys man kan give.
It's what the father gave to the son.
Det var det faderen gav til sønnen.
It was what the older brother was not willing to give.
Det var det den ældre bror ikke var villig til at give.
But it offers us a new beginning.
Men det giver os en ny start.
Let's move on to the next one.
Jeg skal videre til den næste.
You can't avoid this one, I'm afraid.
Du kan ikke undgå den her, jeg er bange for.
This is the sensual or the erotic kiss.
Det er det sensuelle eller erotiske kys.
Everyone says a big amen to this one.
Alle siger amen til det.
When I was a young boy, we called it French kissing.
Da jeg var en ung dreng, så kaldte vi det at kysse på fransk.
I've often wondered what the French call it.
Jeg kunne godt tænke mig at vide, hvad franskmændene kalder det.
I think they just call it normal.
De kalder det nok bare normal.
In Song of Solomon, chapter 1,
i Højsang 1,
it opens up with "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth."
Så startet op med mange kys.
Now I know that many people interpret this as a parable and as an allegory between Christ and the church, and I have no problem with that at all.
Og mange de tager det som en allegori eller et billede på Jesus.
Just as long as you don't lose sight of the fact.
Bare så længe du ikke taber fakta af syne.
That this is a love song about a man and a woman.
At det her det er en kærlighedssang omkring en mand og en kvinde.
About Solomon and a Shulamite maid.
Omkring Salomon og
Shulamite. Yeah.
Sugar.
That'll do.
Sugar bite.
She was certainly sweet.
You can read it.
And in this song, there is a passionate desire and longing for each other.
Og i den her sang, der er der simpelthen en længsel og et udtryk for en kærlighed til hinanden.
This book is so erotic in places that in Jewish communities you were not allowed to read it till you were 30 years of age.
Den her bog, eller den her sang, er så erotisk på nogle steder, at i jødisk tradition, når man ikke tilladt at læse den før at man var 30.
There was a period in church history where many of the church councils tried to throw it out of the Bible because it was too exciting in places.
Der var en periode i kirkens historie, hvor der var nogle råd, der prøver at få den her bog, den her sang, taget ud af Bibelen.
But here's the point that I want to make.
Men her er det punkt, jeg gerne vil gøre.
This kind of kissing is exclusive to a particular relationship.
At det her kys er tilegnet et specielt forhold.
It is between the lover and the loved.
Det er mellem den elskende og den elskede.
And it is a sign of the unique intimacy that they share.
Og det er et tegn på den unikke intimitet, de deler.
Somebody once asking me, what's the difference between this kind of a kiss and a holy kiss?
Hvad er forskellen? Der var en engang spurgte mig, hvad er forskellen på det her kys og et helligt kys?
And I said, about 2 minutes.
Og jeg sagde, omkring 2 minutter.
There are some kisses that we can give to many people.
Der er kys, som vi kan give til mange mennesker.
And there is a kiss that is an exclusive between two people.
Og der er et kys, som er eksklusivt for to mennesker kun.
And that's what this is talking about.
Og det er det her, som det her taler om.
In other words, sensual kissing is not wrong in the right context.
Så sagt på en anden måde, et sensuelt kys er ikke forkert i de rigtige rammer.
And the context that God has created for that is marriage.
Og de rammer, som Gud har lagt for det, er ægteskab.
It's an exclusive relationship.
Det er et eksklusivt forhold.
And there,
og der,
that's the perfect place to experience it.
Det er det bedste sted til at udtrykke.
You can do it as often as you like.
Man kan gøre det lige så tit, man vil.
Let me give a little advice now. Let me look at the average age here quickly. Yep.
Lad mig lige give et godt råd her, når jeg kan se gennemsnitsalderen.
Let me give a little advice to the men in here.
Lad mig give et godt råd til mændene her.
Women like to be kissed.
Kvinder kan godt lide at blive kysset.
But they don't like it when it always leads to sex.
Kvinder kan godt lide det, men ikke når det altid fører til sex.
And one of the biggest mistakes men make,
Og en af de største fejl mænd gør,
is that when their wives kiss them, they think, "Hello, I'm ready."
Det er, de tænker, når konen kysser dem, så tænker de, okay, jeg er klar.
And sometimes what the wife is looking for is affection and closeness.
Og nogle gange det kvinden ser og sigter på, det er intimitet og nærhed.
Ladies, am I right?
Kvinder, har jeg ret?
A little nodding will do. You don't have to say aloud, amen.
En smule nikken for kvinderne vil være godt her. I hører sig amen.
You see, most of us men are stupid in this area.
I ser mange af os mænd, vi er ret dumme på det her punkt.
You know, we're led by a different part of our anatomy.
Vi bliver ledt af en anden del af vores anatomi.
And we have to learn how to give affection and intimacy simply by doing that.
Og vi er nødt til at lære, hvordan vi kan give nærhed og intimitet ved det her.
And it's very special for a wife when you'll do that for.
Og det er meget specielt for konen, når man gør det her.
So let me encourage you guys.
Så lad mig opmuntre jer, gutter.
A little kiss and a cuddle.
Et lille kys på sofaen.
You'll get it a lot more often.
Så får du det meget oftere.
If you don't keep demanding that that goes somewhere else.
Hvis du ikke kræver, at det fører til det.
In fact, she'll be so excited that you do that, you'll probably end up with it anyway, but that's another story.
Hun bliver sikkert så glad for dig, at det fører dig til alligevel.
The point is, you don't demand it.
Punktet er, at du ikke kræver det.
That's the point.
Det
you,
er.
You do it in a self-giving way.
Du giver det i en givende måde.
Now we're on to what I call the spiritual kiss.
Så kommer vi til det åndelige kys.
The word for worship in the New Testament is a word called proskuneo.
Ordet for lovsang i Nyt Testamentet, det er proskuneo.
And it literally means to come forward to kiss.
Og det betyder bogstaveligt talt at komme frem for at kysse.
Now, there is a strong connection, I believe, between the spiritual kiss and the erotic kiss.
Jeg tror, der er en nær sammenhæng mellem det åndelige kys og det erotiske kys.
Because the erotic kiss is in the context of a very unique, committed, intimate relationship.
Det erotiske kys er i en sammenhæng med nærhed og et specielt forhold.
And the spiritual kiss is exactly the same.
Og det åndelige kys er nøjagtigt det samme.
It is what we give to the Lord and the Lord alone.
Det er noget, vi giver til Herren og kun til Gud.
He is the one that we worship.
Det er ham, vi tilbeder.
He is the one that we have been drawn into an intimate relationship with.
Det er ham, som vi er blevet trukket ind i intim forhold.
And this is entirely consistent with Paul's paradigm in Ephesians 5, where he speaks of marriage, and then he says it's a mystery, but I'm speaking of Christ and the church.
Det er det, Paulus siger i Efeserne, hvor han beskriver forholdet mellem mand og kvinde, og siger, det er det, som Gud også har tænkt som forhold mellem Jesus og Gud.
So the church's relationship to Christ is like the wife's relationship to the husband.
Så kirkens forhold til Jesus er det samme som forholdet mellem mand og kvinde.
It is special.
Det er specielt.
It is unique.
Det er unikt.
It is exclusive.
Det er eksklusivt.
And it is intimate.
Og det er intimt.
And when we give God worship,
og når vi giver Gud tilbedelse,
it's like we're reaching forward to him and kissing him.
Så er det som om, at vi træder frem og giver ham et kys.
It's very beautiful.
Meget smukt.
This is what was happening in Luke 7 with this woman who began to anoint Jesus' feet and to kiss them.
Det var det, der skete i Lukas 7 med kvinden, der begyndte at salve Jesus og kysse hans fødder.
It was the spiritual kiss of worship.
Det var det åndelige kys af tilbedelse.
She saw and acknowledged who he was.
Hun så og anerkendte, hvem han var.
In Psalm 2,
i Salmerne 2,
we have what's called by theologians a messianic psalm.
Der har vi det, som teologerne kalder et messianisk salme.
It's a psalm that points forward to Jesus.
En salme, som peger frem til Jesus.
We know it's messianic because it's that psalm that's quoted by in Acts chapter 4 when they prayed together with the apostles.
Vi ved, at det er en messianisk salme, fordi det er det, der bliver talt om i Apostlene 2.
And it talks about how the Lord has been enthroned.
Og det taler om, at Herren er på tronen.
Today I have begotten you. How do you say that in Danish?
Yeah, in normal English.
Today you are my son.
I dag er du min søn.
Just to put it another way. Now the point is this. The rulers of the earth are told to come forward and kiss the son.
Det det fortæller, det er, at herskerne på jorden træder frem for at kysse sønnen.
Unless he gets angry with you.
Men mindre han bliver sur på dig.
And in that kiss,
og i det kys,
there is a submission and a surrender to the King of Kings.
Der er en underlæggelse og en ydmygelse for kongernes konge.
So when we worship,
så når vi tilbeder,
we don't just give God honor.
Så giver vi ikke kun Gud ære.
We do that.
Det gør vi.
We're not just expressing the value that we place upon him.
Så fortæller vi kun om den værdi vi tillægger ham.
But we're also in that process of kissing, of worshiping, surrendering to who he is.
Men vi underlægger os også og giver os over til ham i den hvor vi kysser og vi tilbeder ham.
And worship is that place of ultimate surrender.
Og tilbedelse er det sted hvor man fuldstændig underlægger sig.
That was what Satan was looking for when he tempted Jesus.
Det var det, Satan sigtede på, da han fristede Jesus.
Worship me.
Knæl ned og tilbed mig.
Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.
Jesus sagde, du skal tilbede Gud og Gud alene.
Him only shall you serve.
Kun ham skal du tjene.
All true service comes out of true worship.
Al sand tjeneste kommer ud af sand tilbedelse.
You cannot serve God unless you first learn to worship him.
Du kan ikke lære at tjene for Gud, hvis ikke du lærer at tilbede Gud.
And as we kiss the Lord in worship,
og når vi kysser Gud i tilbedelsen,
in that place of surrender,
i den tilstand af overgivelse,
in that place of giving him honor,
i den tilstand af at give ham ære,
he kisses us back.
Så kysser han os igen.
He gives us the kiss of forgiveness.
Så giver han os tilgivelseskysset.
He gives us the kiss of greeting.
Så giver han os hilsen, kys.
He gives us the kiss of intimacy.
Again, as it didn't seem, because
that I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine.
At den elskede er min, og jeg er den elskede.
And then finally, I want to talk about what I call the poetic kiss.
Til sidst vil jeg gerne tale om det poetiske kys.
I want you to turn to Psalm 85.
Jeg vil gerne, at I går til Salme 85.
It's one of the most beautiful psalms in the Old Testament.
En af de smukkeste salmer i det gamle testamente.
And in this psalm,
og i den her salme,
here's what it declares.
Her er hvad det bekender.
In verse 10,
i vers 10,
mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and shall make his footsteps our pathway. I want to suggest to you that this particular psalm is talking about two sides of God's character that appear to be irreconcilable.
Jeg vil gerne, at I forstår, at den her salme taler om to dele i Gud, som tilsyneladende ser ud som uforenlige.
You see, on the one hand,
på den ene side,
God is a holy and a righteous being.
På den ene side er Gud en hellig og retfærdig Gud.
And his holiness and his righteousness can never be compromised.
Og hans hellighed og hans retfærdighed kan aldrig gås på kompromis.
His standards of righteousness cannot be lowered.
En standard med retfærdighed kan aldrig sænkes.
To lower the standard of righteousness is no longer to be righteous.
Det at sænke sin standard for retfærdighed betyder, at man ikke længere er retfærdig.
And God's righteousness and his holiness and his truth stand on one side of his character.
Og Guds retfærdighed og sandhed og hellighed står på den ene side.
But on the other side of God's character,
men på den anden side af Guds karakter,
is his mercy and his peace.
Er hans nåde og fred.
And God's mercy longs to pardon those who offend.
Og Guds nåde ønsker at tilgive dem, som overtræder.
In fact, it says in James chapter 1 that his mercy rejoices over judgment.
Og i Jakob 1 står der, at Guds nåde fryder sig over retfærdighed.
And God longs that we will live at peace, both with him and with each other.
Og Gud ser frem til, at vi vil leve i fred med ham og hinanden.
When Jesus was born, the angels announced peace on earth, goodwill towards men.
Da Jesus blev født, så bekendte englene fred over mennesker.
But how do these two aspects of God's character come together?
Men hvordan kan de her to aspekter af Guds karakter forenes?
Because they are asking for two different things.
Fordi de beder om to forskellige ting.
Truth demands satisfaction.
Sandhed kræver tilfredsstillelse.
The truth is,
sandheden er,
the wages of sin is death.
At syndens løn er død.
Those who sin have to die.
At dem der synder, de må dø.
God's holiness and righteousness require it, and truth demands it.
Guds hellighed og retfærdighed peger på det, og Guds sandhed kræver det.
But God's mercy longs to pardon.
Men Guds nåde ønsker at tilgive.
Longs to be at peace.
Længes efter at være i fred.
No longer striving and alienated and at war with man, but reconciled.
Ikke længere i fjendskab og i afstand til mennesket, men at være genforenet.
How will they come together?
Og komme stærkt sammen.
They are asking for two different things.
De beder om to forskellige ting.
They come together in Melchizedek.
De kommer sammen i Melchizedek.
Melchizedek is made up of two words.
Melchizedek er lavet af to ord.
Melech, king.
Melech, king, konge.
And Zedek, Zidkenu in the Hebrew, righteousness.
Og Zedek, Zidkenu, retfærdig.
And Melchizedek, his name means king of righteousness.
Melchizedek, det betyder konge af retfærdighed.
But he was king in Jerusalem.
Men han var konge i Jerusalem.
And Jerusalem in the Hebrew, Yerushalayim, is the city of peace.
Og Jerusalem, det betyder fredens by.
So he's the king of righteousness and the king of peace.
Så han er retfærdighedens konge og fredens konge.
And now God puts a plan into place.
Og Gud har nu sat en plan i værk.
Whereby he satisfies his righteousness.
Og han tilfredsstiller sin retfærdighed.
By giving his son.
Ved at give sin søn.
To live under the law.
Til at leve under loven.
To fulfill the requirements of the law.
Til at opfylde kravene i loven.
And to die according to the law.
Og dø ifølge loven.
That we might receive his life.
At vi må modtage hans liv.
That perfectly fulfills the law.
Der fuldstændig opfylder loven.
And now in Jesus.
Nu i Jesus.
We have the poetic kiss.
Der har vi det poetiske kys.
Because now righteousness and peace are met together.
Fordi nu mødes retfærdighed
and mercy and truth.
Og nåde.
Look at Jesus.
Og nåde og sandhed. Se på Jesus.
And they kiss each other.
De mødes og de kysser hinanden.
Because truth says, I am satisfied.
Fordi sandhed siger, jeg er tilfredsstillet.
That is enough.
Det er nok.
And peace says, I am satisfied too.
Og fred siger, jeg er også tilfredsstillet.
I can freely be given away.
Det er frieligt til at give ud.
This is perhaps the most profound kiss in the entire Bible.
Det er måske det mest grundlæggende kys i Bibelen.
It is the kiss where God is able to satisfy both parts of his nature, who he is.
Det er det kys, som forener Gud.
Without compromising his righteous standards.
Uden at og gå på kompromis med sin retfærdighedsstandard.
Through the gospel.
Gennem evangeliet.
He gives peace.
Så giver han fred.
So that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1.
Så i Romerne 5:1.
Now we have peace with God. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we have peace with God.
At nu har vi fred med Gud, at vi kan træde ind i det sted, hvor vi har fred med Gud.
Peace with God.
Fred med Gud.
In Ephesians 2, he has made peace through the blood of his cross.
I Efeserne 2 står der, at han har givet fred gennem sit blod.
So when you go away this morning,
så når I går hjem herfra den her formiddag,
I want you to think,
så skal I tænke på,
of how this unity has come together in the person of Jesus.
Hvordan at de her ting er blevet bragt til enhed i Jesus.
And God has been able to kiss himself.
Og at Gud har kunnet kysse sig selv.
These aspects of his divine nature have come together in perfect unity.
At de her dele af hans guddommelighed er blevet bragt sammen til en enhed.
In the person of his son Jesus.
I personificeret i Jesus, hans søn.
And that's why we can come to him.
Og det er derfor vi kan komme til ham.
With the kiss of worship.
Med et tilbedelsens kys.
And receive the kiss of forgiveness.
Og modtage et tilgivelsens kys.
So that we can greet one another.
Så vi kan hilse med hinanden.
And say farewell to one another.
Og sige farvel til hinanden.
With a holy kiss.
Et hellig kys.
Would you bow your heads while we pray?
Vi bøj hovederne sammen med mig.
Father, I want to thank you.
Far, jeg ønsker at takke dig.
For the beauty of the Lord Jesus.
For den skønhed i Jesus Kristus.
I thank you for the tremendous sacrifice that you've accomplished on our behalf through him.
Takker dig, far, for det offer, du har bragt, utrolig offer, du har bragt for vores.
That his death is enough to satisfy you.
At ved hans død var nok til at tilfredsstille dig.
And I thank you, Lord, that in a sense we've been able to kiss you today.
Jeg takker dig, far, at på en eller anden måde, så har vi været i stand til at kysse dig i dag.
We've been able to kiss you in worship.
Vi har været i stand til at kysse dig, tilbe dig.
And we sense your forgiving kiss in Jesus.
Og vi oplever dit tilgivende kys i Jesus.
And my prayer, Father, for this company of people,
og far, min bøn for denne forsamling her,
is that they will live in this spiritual reality with each other.
At de vil leve med den åndelige virkelighed med hinanden.
Where we will not be ashamed of each other.
Hvor vi ikke vil være flov over hinanden.
But we will be challenged to identify with each other.
Men vi vil acceptere og tilegne os, at vi anerkender hinanden.
And care for each other.
Og tager os af hinanden.
And grow together.
Og vi vokser sammen.
Demonstrating your love.
At vi får lov til at demonstrere din kærlighed.
In Jesus' name.
I Jesu navn.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Gud velsigne jer.